I'm astronaut Bob Thirsk of the Canadian Space Agency. Welcome to the first Canadian expedition mission to the International Space Station.
From the depths of the oceans to the peaks of Everest to beyond the safety of the Earth's atmosphere, the powerful urge to explore has led human beings to expose themselves to hostile environments. Bob Thirsk has already ridden the shuttle into orbit. This time, he'll be headed for the International Space Station on a Soyuz rocket, along with two other crewmates.
It's like squeezing three people into a telephone booth. The vibration is even more intense, a lot like sitting at the epicenter of an earthquake. And the G-forces of a Soyuz launch are a little higher at 4 Gs than the 3 Gs I experienced during the shuttle launch. It's tough to breathe at 4 Gs. It's as if an elephant is sitting squarely on my chest for the 8.5 minute ride to space.
On arrival at the ISS, after removing his Russian Sokol protective suit, Bob Thirsk will live and work in a shirt sleeve setting, breathing an atmosphere very much like the one we encounter at sea level on Earth.
We want the conditions in the space station to be the same as those in an Earth-based laboratory, with the exception of weightlessness.
Outside this relatively comfortable setting lies the harsh environment of space. No air, zero pressure, and temperatures that vary from 125 degrees Celsius in full sunlight to minus 100 in the Earth's shadow. The surface temperature of the space station can vary across a range of 225 degrees Celsius in a single 90-minute orbit. Although it's a near vacuum, space is by no means empty. Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield, who will take Bob Thirsk's place on the mission in case of illness or accident, has personal experience venturing forth from the safety of an orbiting spacecraft as Canada's first spacewalker.
So far, no astronaut has ever been injured during a spacewalk, but we've been looking at some of the solar panels that power the station, and there are thousands of impact marks from micrometeoroids and space debris.
The longer the mission, the greater the exposure to a number of risk factors.
When we're in low Earth orbit, as we are on the space station, we're still within a geomagnetic cloud of charged particles that protect us, more or less, from incoming radiation.
Solar flares can suddenly increase radiation exposure. Both Thirsk and Hadfield are trained in minimizing radiation hazards.
We have dosimeters that measure how much radiation our bodies have absorbed. We also have designated areas on the space station where we could go for protection during a radiation storm. Bags of water, for instance, are a great barrier to ionizing radiation.
Even the weightless state, so eagerly anticipated by many astronauts, has its own set of challenges for the human organism. Internal fluids shift, causing a puffy face, bird leg syndrome. Vertebral discs expand, and muscles atrophy.
It seems that some of the organ systems, and particularly the bones, do not always recover completely. When we get back on Earth, we seem to regain most of the bone calcium that we've lost during the long-duration flight, but the structure of the bone that's rebuilt when we get home is different.
Bone research in space may well have profound implications for aging populations worldwide.
In fact, we have quadruple the rate of bone mineral loss compared to postmenopausal women. So astronauts, in a weightless environment, are a good model for osteoporosis research.
The advantages of weightlessness as a research condition far exceed the challenges.
We make better use of space in a weightless environment. On Earth, it would seem strange to control a robotics workstation from the ceiling. In the space station, we use the entire volume of the module to live and work.
Bob Thirsk's journey will expose him to forces to which he will adapt and learn to truly live aboard the International Space Station, as he contributes his own unique talents and skills to the unending task of exploration.